Welcome to episode 165 of the Better With Running podcast. My name is Chris Armstrong. I'm a Run to PB coach, and I'm joined also by a very happy Run to PB coach in Zachary Newman, fresh off celebrating a whole stack of Melbourne Marathon PBs. How are you, mate?
I'm very good, mate. Oh, what a weekend. How cool was it? And very cool to see yourself, mate, at the finish afterwards, but also obviously even more exciting, I must say, to see all our athletes out there and huge numbers, big, like lots of debuts, some amazing runs, some big PBs. We had, mate, we had our Run to PB own Gemma Maney just across the TV screens, newspapers, doing media, doing grilled commercials. She was just everywhere. That was hugely exciting. I think I saw Maddie Davies' mug get on the screen. It was, epic weekend. And excited to chat more about it, mate. We've got a few guests that we're going to have that we're out on in the arena, finishing off in the MCG, and we're going to have a chance to chat to them about their day out at the MCG.
Oh, it was surreal, the whole day. I think 80-plus Run to PB athletes and coaches, I think you've coaches included, probably goes to 90 plus. But that was amazing. Just the spread of people among all the events. That poor old PB bell has taken an absolute hammering on Sunday, to the point where we probably need a new one. But even just catching up with some of the community there in the parklands afterwards and hearing the different stories. And it was odd. Like people actually recognizing both of us and coming up, and people I hadn't met before. It was brilliant. So, and probably the one thing that I really sensed is just how genuinely happy they were for other members of the community too, that it wasn't just wholly and solely about their own outstanding results. So yeah, it was good to meet some new people and hear how it all unfolded. The whole day was just a blur. It was incredible.
It goes so fast. Like you're up super early, a lot earlier than me, I reckon.
I had a bit further to travel than you did, to be fair, though.
Yes, I actually had about 3K to get where I parked my car at, I reckon, about 5:50, 6 a.m. And I didn't get it till about 5 p.m. the next day.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're out there
Collected it after a run from back in Richmond. I stayed within the vicinity of sort of Richmond. Well, I got as far down as down along, not even Elwood. Luna Park was about as far I got down on the course. We sort of stuck around that area. But, yeah, I think for that that 24 hours, I was in that vicinity. But it was so cool being out of the course, mate. It was it's different being on the bike. I know I did it last year, and run the gauntlet a few times, riding down the tram tracks. And Al's a bit of a mate, he's a seasoned campaigner doing this for years and years, so he kind of knows the spots to go to. And there, we managed to see our athletes and just see the race and so many different. It's just staggering seeing the amount of people out there, giving it their all. It's pretty bloody inspiring, I guess so.
Oh, mate, the swarms of people, it was incredible. We made it into the city just in time to see the 10K take off, and that was at 7:30, and even that was incredible to the point where we were almost in a trance just watching thousands of people go through. And same thing with a half marathon as well. There was a point there where it must have been around the 8 kilometer mark for the 10K where they were coming in just as a half marathon as we're getting to around 1K, and it was just felt like an ant. I was just trapped. But it was so cool just to see, and the atmosphere, it was amazing. It was a real privilege to be able to stand there and watch and take it all in, and also see some of my athletes and give them a bit of a cheer as well. That was definitely a highlight.
How were the nerves for you, mate, as a coach? I know it becomes, I felt like I was, you obviously by Saturday night, you've done all you can. It's out of your hands. It's kind of all you can do is just go and hope, go out there and just hope that it clicks. You just feel helpless, I guess, in a sense. You just,
my big thing was just hoping that they all got to the start line. There was no mishaps on the way. There was no Ubers running late or sleep-ins or getting stuck in a toilet line or anything like that. So I had my Melbourne Marathon app set up, had all my athletes in there with notifications turned on. So as soon as they crossed that start line, got a little message. So that was very reassuring. And it was great following their journeys along. So for the most part during the races, you'd have a little notification come through every 5K to keep track of the splits. And probably once they were all out there running, I was good. It was just the bits leading up where I was a bit nervous. But probably as all the splits were coming through, there's a lot of good stories. You know, some people not having the best day, but probably the only time I got nervous mid-run was when Kate, one of my friends from Shepparton who I've been coaching for a few years now, Kate was killing it, absolutely killing it. Her PB was 3:39 and she was on track for sort of going sub 3:25, and I was so excited, like, oh, she's coming up to 35K. And Kate's sense of direction is poor at best. So all of a sudden I just was overcome with panic. Oh no, what if she follows the half marathoners, because she's going to be around a lot of people. What if she takes off and just follows them around and she runs a long way, and because it would be such a Kate thing to do. But
hopefully she wasn't around Laura as well.
No,
because
Kate actually did get lost the previous evening going out for hot chocolate. So she had shown form in the 24 hours preceding, but it was a big sense of relief when I saw her. She went the right way, although the group that she was in, one of the guys that she was running with, they did have to grab her by the arm and tell her to go left, because she did start to venture off right with the half marathoners. So my fears were extremely well-founded. But it was good to see her and the rest of the crew too. Not just my athletes, who saw Jess Willis out there, Liam Beecroft. Liam was incredible. He ran 2:37. He yelled at me. I'm not sure if it was lovingly or not. I suspect not. I was at 36 days.
Run, was it? Yeah.
No, it was like a full guttural roar. he was putting every sinew that he had in his body into that marathon, and geez, he did bloody well. I just love him. I think he's an amazing fella, and I'm a big fan, and I think he just wanted me to get off the road and leave him alone. I'm super excited to see him. Got a huge smile from Gemma as she went around. That was really cool. I could go, the list would go on.
When you look at and obviously we've our round the grounds would go for 3 hours if we talked about everything.
We give everyone a wrap.
But we did put up the social posts. We had BB Bell was going off its shots, mate. But some of the names that like I guess me and you have spoken to in the journey and in the build up to this, it was kind of cool to see them out on the roads. You've mentioned a few of them that have been on this podcast. I know Steve Friend was out there. He has the kit looked amazing.
Oh.
He smacked out a PB. Anna Alice was out there, who was actually sharing the roads with James Telford. They were, mate, they looked like they were having a ball. They were sharing drinks and smiling, and that was cool to see that. You mentioned Jess Will. She was out there. Maddie Morgan, who is also past guest, I got the chance to do a shakeout with Maddie, who he obliged, which was great from a Taz. I was starting to get a bit of a complex that there's Tasmanians that wouldn't have done that. Maddie Morgan was in full flight and he ran through a one. So, yeah, look, it's one of those things. Like, Maddie's had a great build up. Was probably hoping to go a little bit better than that, but that's the marathon, you know. We spoke about it last week. You said not everyone's going to run a PB. Like it's a really hard event to get right. And so it was really cool to see. Yeah, our guest last week, Laura Salameda, had massive PB for her, 3:27. Nick McDermott, past guest.
Yes.
Out there, Charles Jacobson, mate.
Hannah Ellis.
Big TV, 254.
Yes.
The list goes on. Portia Olsen, PB, got a chance to have a drink with her and Sammy. That was really cool. So good to see. Heaps and heaps of people out there hunting there, just doing their best. And speaking of Sammy, because I did run into him at the pub, and he'd run his marathon. His athlete Anna was there. It's fair to say he was rehydrating pretty well. And we have a coaches chat where we do put in the results. And I know a few weeks back we gave John Cox a spray for missing, but Sammy, the shoe doctor, McLean, he might have missed out one of his athletes, and he caught full wrath because a big run from Beck, who managed to snag a PB, a 2 second PB. So mate, you gotta be pumped with that when you can get there. And talk about an awesome run. So we thought we would definitely give her 3 second PB. We robbed her of a second. Managed to get a PB and didn't get the elusive bell. So we wanted to specifically shout out Beck Dukowski, who, if you look at the splits, mate, it was
super even.
Even, and I reckon picked it up. If you look at super even. You're talking through the tan, she's absolutely monster the hill. So yeah, that's really cool. So blame your coach there, Beck, for not being on the ball, mate. A little bit hungover the day after, I reckon.
I think he's a bit of a Monday
sleep. He did run the marathon, so he's probably a bit sore as well.
He did. No, he did. And ran through it. Sub 3, so he went around in, did very well. But Beck had a Beck had a great run. 3:35 PB, even by 3 seconds, they all count. And that's a phenomenal run because Melbourne's not the easiest course. Over that back half, you get a bit of congestion from the half, up around the Shrine, ran there at sort of 35, 36K, and Beck's run a wonderful race. So,
Did you see that down on the course?
No.
She was out there running around, I think she clocked up about 30K. moving around, and then I think there's some photos of her back at the back of the MCG with some of her athletes. So Jack Davies was out there. He made his debut marathon. Coach Jack.
2:45 for Jack, I believe I saw.
So bloody solid run from Jack. Chris O'Neill was out on the sidelines. His wife was going around the marathon. Obviously, Matt and Gemma. There was someone else. Have we missed someone? I think that might be all the athlete coaches that were out there. It's a huge day, mate. And yeah, like we said, the social posts, if you have a glance at just the sheer numbers, and amongst that, I needed to almost throw in a debut asterisk or something there, because in the marathon, there was a lot of debuts.
Mm.
That was really cool to see.
No, yeah. It's not often we use 4 slides to make sure that we've got nearly all our athletes. I know it's hard when you've got that many that have participated in the one event. Unfortunately, we didn't quite get back in there, but to have 80 plus people up there who've run amazingly and had a great experience. Melbourne turned on the weather too. And that was a very positive weather, nice and cool. There's a little bit of rain on the start line for the marathon, but
just drizzling right at speed at 7 o'clock. Because I was just around at the start, like I rode around the start, and you could feel the drizzle. And I mean, the nervous energy around that start line is something to behold around that marathon start line. Jeez, and but no, the conditions were bloody good in the end.
No, it was made to order. It wasn't too hot. There's a slight bit of breeze there. It's all good. Apologies for the noise in the background. I think we've got some kids who've just belted their tennis ball playing cricket out on the street, and they've just gone into the backyard, so it's all right. We're not getting burgled. It's fine.
A bit of IPL going on over there.
Yeah, and I was heart rate was up a little bit. I was just like, oh, what's going on? But no, it's all good. Norsey's got it under control.
Well, we talk about intruders, mate. We've got a couple more, a couple of intruders jumping over the fence into the Zoom room shortly, and we'll let them in. And a couple of surprise guests, I
Mate,
reckon.
these ones look trustworthy. I think we should let them in.
We'll let them in. Well, we've got those guests. They've come into the room, and it's double trouble. We've got Sophie Fitt and Damien Ryan, and couple of our listeners would recall Damo was on his a few months back now. He jumped on the podcast and had a chat about all things health. But yeah, Soph's going to introduce Damo, and there's a couple of other things we're going to have a chat about this week on the podcast.
Thanks, Zaka. Nice to be back. Hi, Chris. How you
Hey
going?
mate, good, good. How are you?
Very good. Sorry to drown your listeners in my voice again. Only 2 weeks since I last spoke to you, but I was a little disappointed when I got off last time and realized the next day that I actually hadn't even touched on something that I think is important in the running calendar and coming up, and certainly been my focus since I returned to running about, I think it's about 8 or 9 weeks ago. So thanks for the opportunity to come on tonight, and I've brought, as Zaka kindly said, friend of the pod, Damo Ryan. And the reason for that is to discuss an event that's coming up, not this coming Sunday, but the following Sunday. So that's the last Sunday in October, 29th of October, and it's an event that I'm passionate about it, but I know Damo is super passionate about it, and he's going to go into that in a moment. It's called Run for Rossi, and the name of the event Damo can touch on in a moment. But just some top line information for our listeners and our whole running community. It is a terrific event for all the family, all running abilities, runners, walkers. The events on offer are the half marathon distance, 21.1K, 10 kilometer, 5 kilometer, walking or running, hopping, skipping, do it how you like. It's not about performance, it's about getting involved and supporting a terrific cause. It's most favourable to our Melbourne community because it's at Caulfield Grammar School in St Kilda, but that's really easy to access for our certainly our Victorian listeners as well. So yeah, just to reiterate, Run for Rossi, October the 29th, Caulfield Grammar School, St Kilda, with varying distances. Everybody's welcome. And I'll throw to Damo, and he can talk about the man behind the movement, the legacy he leaves, because he sadly died a few months ago. And yeah, just what Run for Rossi is and why we're doing it. So thanks for joining us today or tonight, Damo.
Thank you for that intro. Thank you for going through the details, Soph. And thank you very much for having me on, Zach and Chris, and giving me the platform to, I guess, advertise and promote such a fantastic event that is Run for Rossi. This year will be our third Run for Rossi after we had a virtual one in volume one. Volume two was at Collingwood Athletics Track, and this event's just grown and grown and grown. And so now we're at Caulfield Grammar. So I know you guys, you're all avid runners, and this event, all the funds that we raise is to go towards motor neurone disease research. And I know a lot of the listeners of the podcast are maybe heading towards the elite runners and take their running very seriously, but this event is purely based around being grateful for being active and being able to move, because that's sort of what Chris was. Chris has a bit of a background around his motor neurone disease. He was 31 years old when he was diagnosed in April 2021. And sadly, 28 months later, he lost his fight against the beast, 54 years old. And one thing that is quite confronting was an incredible soccer player. He was a strength and conditioning coach, he was a physiotherapist, he prepared impeccably for all of his for all of his sports and anything that he put himself towards. So I know a lot of listeners of this podcast, they take their running very seriously. They train incredibly hard, and Chris was exactly like that. And unfortunately, at the ripe old age of 31, he was diagnosed and lost his battle 28 months later. But he was an incredible human being. And one thing that his legacy that he'll leave is when he was diagnosed of motor neurone disease, instead of, I guess, confining his bedroom and allowing the disease to take over, he actually went on a little bucket list tour around the world, and he saw the things that he wanted to see. He went to Scotland, he went to Europe, and he experienced some amazing things. And for any of our listeners that want to understand Chris a bit more, on his Instagram page, it's beat the beast, beat underscore the beast underscore. And he actually went through a few things called the list of the living. And that was where he went through some things that everyone should be grateful for, whether it's spending time with loved ones, how you should approach each day, things you should value in life. And there's heaps and heaps of ideas and concepts that this young man had around how to live your life. And it's a nice little reflection for all of us that we probably take things for granted. And Chris, by the end, didn't take even walking or talking for granted or being able to give his loved ones a hug. So this in 2 weekends' time, it is a beautiful, beautiful cause and a reason to celebrate not only Chris's life, but us being grateful and appreciative for being able to move every day compared to someone that is unfortunately crawled with this hideous and heinous disease that is motor neurone disease. And we do need to find out more. And he's created an incredible movement. And I'd just be rapt if any of the sort of listeners of the podcast could come walk, jog, run, take Soph on, beat Soph, do anything, do a PB. We really don't care. It's just all about the why and not the run, which is quite a nice sort of reason to celebrate. So I really appreciate you guys having me on and allowing me to sort of promote the event.
Well put, mate. And yeah, that list for living. I've spoken to Soph before about that, and Chris, and I think it's really the way he put that. And there's so many and the way I sort of obviously found out about this a few years ago and started following along and saw what has been going on behind the scenes and how much effort has been put into this and to continue this legacy. It's amazing what everyone is doing. It's really gone to another level this year. Volume 3, it looks like you got live music, jumping castles, face painting, food trucks. Like, it's just, this is going to continue to grow. And I think you'd be so proud of what you guys are doing.
And if you can't attend on the day, we know it can be difficult. They've got a silent option running at the moment through their website. You can easily donate by the website, or if you can buy merchandise as well. There's all this sort of stuff in different ways that you can contribute to donate. And so, it was just an incredible man that stayed incredibly active, and it's very hard. So I think runners of all people that train so incredibly hard, they're so meticulous with everything that they do. The thought of not even being able to get out of bed, and even in Chris's last few months, he didn't even have the capacity to even swallow. So someone would have to empty his oxygen mask in order for him to stay alive. So for people that are so active and appreciate being out and know how cathartic sort of pounding the pavement can be, the thought of not being able to do that is quite harrowing. So to know that someone that you were quite close with and went through such hell at the end is you'll stop at nothing to sort of try and help as much as you can and raise as much money as we possibly can.
Yeah, that's so true, Damo. I think also I know we've got to wrap up soon, but just a quick shout out, Damo, you know these guys, the men and women behind the movement. If you want to give a shout out, Webby, I don't even know their name. I know there's Webby. Do you want to just thank those guys? Oh, I think we might have lost Damo. Yeah. That's okay.
A lot of people behind the scenes doing amazing things too.
Yeah, and that was how I sort of connected with them, and they mentioned us using this terrific platform too. So just thanks to those guys who are living for Chris and for his memory as well. So I reckon, Zachary, I know you'll do it. You do a great job with this. Linking to in the show notes, just to
we'll put a post out to you on our socials as well with the link.
Oh, that's very kind.
the beast and all the all the details about the event. And,
yeah, you're a legend.
It's an amazing cause, and we'll have to get Dane when he we'll get him on again down the track, and we want to chat about Limber because he's launched a pretty cool space. So but it's all about Rossi tonight. So we'll definitely tee up another time to chat more about Damon and Limber.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. So thanks to both you guys for giving Damon and me the opportunity to have a quick chat and very welcome all of our Run to PB community to join us next Sunday. So thanks a lot, guys. Good.
Thank you, Soph, and thank you, Damo. As promised, Chris-o, we have got someone that was out on the roads in the Melbourne Marathon, fresh off a PB. This young lady signed up to Run to PB back in 2021, selected Soph Fit as her coach preference in the sign-up form, wanted to knock off a few of the pesky seconds off the 10K and half to become a sub 40 and sub 90 minute runner. But her real goal was just to improve, learn, and love her running. Well, on the weekend, she had a big PB in the marathon, and I reckon it's fair to say she's loving her running. But to hear more about the weekend, welcome to the show, Jo Bailey.
Thank you. Thanks, Saka. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're excited to hear about the weekend because we were just actually chatting to Soph before in another segment, and she was super excited to know that we'd teed up you to jump on.
That's good. I was interested to hear what my sign-up form had said back in the day. So I think we're doing well, Soph and I, ticking off those goals.
There's been some massive PBs along the way, and whilst, but since 2021, across those couple of years, you've achieved a lot of stuff. But your running journey, how did you get into the sport? What did running look like for you growing up?
It's a good question. I don't really remember how I started. I think I probably used to ask Mum if I could tag along with her when she went for a run when I was younger. My earliest running memory is probably sometime in junior school. I think there was literally a wooden pole, or maybe it was like a tree stump or something, about a kilometre from home, maybe like a kilometre and a half. And I think for cross-country training or to keep fit, I'd used to run from home to this tree stump on the side of the road, and then Mum would follow along in the car and pick me up at the end, and then we'd drive back home. So I think that's how I probably started. Who knew I was doing kilometre reps or something back then? But it was literally just run from home to the tree stump or this pole on the side of the road and drive back home in the car with Mum.
Are you playing any other sports at all?
Yeah. So I did the whole plenty of team sports at school. I think mornings were either spent in the swimming pool or on the lake rowing, Saturday mornings at the netball court, and probably like selected sports at school that kind of took a bit more self-drive and motivation for some reason. So maybe that's why I ended up a runner, climbing into a freezing cold pool. I'm from Tasmania, so, same getting on the lake early in the morning, rowing and things like that. It always took a bit of extra motivation to get out there, but I think that's what makes those kind of things rewarding in the end. So yeah, plenty of sport at school. I was certainly never the best or the most talented, but I tried really hard and worked really hard. So I was always that person who, scraped into the relay team, fourth place on the relay team kind of vibe. So I was made the teams, but it was like fourth place kind of thing, but I was always there, so it was always fun.
Just looking back, and we were just looking at your sign up form originally, and there was some gold in there, but like, when did it start to sort of go to another level in terms of running? Like, when did you start to really take it serious? I know there was a half marathon over in Canada, Mont-Tremblant. So was that the catalyst to really kick things off?
Yeah, no, so I ran kind of all through uni just because I loved it. and maybe entered like a fun run a year or something, that kind of thing. I always jumped into the Tassie events. They're really well run, and Bernie 10 and that kind of thing when I was younger, but always just did it because I loved it. And then I think I probably have to credit, your rival Inside Running podcast for taking me from an everyday runner to someone who is just completely infatuated and in love with the sport. And now I'm a crazy person who sets alarms to watch live streams in the middle of the night overseas, and always has the running podcast in my ear, and, you know, we'll check the drive time from Melbourne to Bathurst out of interest to see if it's feasible to get there. So now I'm one of these people, and probably because of the podcast, to be honest. I kind of just became obsessed through that, and that's probably where I heard about Run to PB. I think it's probably during COVID when you guys, I think some of you started posting your 60-minute sessions. And I used to screenshot. They were so great. I used to screenshot those and test those out. Started doing some sessions and things and signed up, and here we are.
Any favourites from the 60-minute sessions that you can remember?
Oh, gosh. No, I can't. I honestly can't remember. They're all so different.
Brady's a big fan. You could say throw full fartlek. That seems to be.
Brady's was definitely in there. There were some that took a long time to program into the watch, that's for sure. Some were very.
We had a lot of time up our sleeve in COVID, so it was a good activity to.
Exactly. I had plenty of time to program stuff into a watch. It was all good. No, they were great. Yeah.
Yeah, that's super cool that you were able to, I guess, through the podcast and through just being in Melbourne, like it's I've got to say it, the home of running, and that you get a chance to, get out and run around the town or get out along around Albert Park and actually see some of these incredible athletes and, no doubt.
Like I said, I'm Tasmanian, and then I spent some time in Melbourne and then actually moved to Canberra for a few years. So I was up there running around Lake Burley Griffin and thing. And then I've only been back in Melbourne for maybe 18 months and absolutely loving it. Best running in the country.
Any favourite spots that you prefer to run around in Melbourne?
I reckon I frequent a lot of the same places Zaka probably does, to be honest. I'm kind of in Burnley. A hop, skip and a jump, I can kind of be out my front door and by the river in 30 seconds, which is amazing. And then I can turn left or right or go straight, kind of down along the river towards the Tan or up along Gardens Creek Trail. I'll head out and park at Eaglemont Tennis Court on a weekend. Plenty of options.
If you're running a loop around the Tan, are you heading up Anderson Street or are you sort of going downhill?
So if I have, if Soph's got me doing hill reps, I will do those up Anderson Street. Going up, I go up Anderson.
Is that the correct answer, Zaka? Zaka prefers to go what I deem the long way around and run down Anderson Street and then have like the gradual incline all the way around.
I feel like, is this right, Zach? I feel like there's a longer hill though. Do you spend more time going uphill if you do it the other way?
Yeah.
Well, why are you choosing that option?
See, I'm
only going to do it once if I have to, and that's in Melbourne Marathon.
I'm Team Joe. I'm very much up Anderson Street. So, no, it's good. Solidarity. Good stuff, mate.
Hey, back to that progression you've had, and I know I talked about wanting to just take off a few seconds to get under the 40 minutes, under the 90, but you've taken minutes off now. Like, you're well under those. Correct me if I've got this, but 38:20 for the 10. At Albert Park, or going
maybe.
Off, we're going off your Strava estimated, but that seems, if you click on it, I think Chris clicked on it, and it was like, 38:20-ish in the Albert Park 10 Lakeside this year, 19:02 over the 5, so under the 20 minutes there, and then Burnley half this year, 1:26, the hometown, home course.
Yeah, I think I've cracked two 10K PBs and two half PBs in the last kind of 12 months, which has been nice. And both PBs at AV events, which I've never done before, but threw my hat in the ring in those invitational kind of events that you can do at Albert Park and Burnley. And I think you just get pulled along, to be honest, with everyone. It's pretty amazing. It's like little ass, but for adults. You rock up and there are just tents and singlets and bibs and things flying around everywhere. It's really great.
Just on singlets, we've got a Melbourne Uni one that was just going to send you over.
Oh,
yeah. Invitational. So, Bendigo, I know Bendigo Bats will be making a claim for you, but Melbourne Uni, I think, will be a bit closer to home.
So you beat me.
I did go to Melbourne Uni, so there you go.
Yeah, done deal.
Beat me to it, exactly, because I was just about to say, given your love of cross country growing up, running from home to various tree stumps and getting a lift back, that surely a bit of cross country in the winter, you know, Saturday afternoons, trip to Bendigo, you know, down to Bundoora, across the hills.
It looks pretty fun, doesn't it?
I reckon you'd love it. I'm biased, but yeah, a lot of fun. Certainly on the recruiting trail, not just for people to come and run for Bendigo or Melbourne Uni, certainly open to choose. There's lots of good teams out there, but just to get more of the Run to PB community down there, it could be great.
Yeah, it does look really fun.
Hey, your block leading into Melbourne. So we touched on you running a PB. We didn't actually touch on how big a PB it was. It was a 20-minute PB on the weekend. And your build-up to this marathon, there was a 40K run that we came across there that seems to be a bit of a soap staple as a long run leading into a marathon, in your marathon block. But can you recall some of the sessions that, or maybe a couple of your favourite ones in the block?
Yeah. I think the 20-minute PB sounds very good, but it was a bit of a soft PB to start with, I will admit. I think I ran that when I didn't even know what a session was, and certainly before I bought fancy shoes. So that's that. But yes, Sophie, I'm someone who doesn't like to peek too far ahead in final cert. But I did, I think the first thing Sophie did, she didn't program all the weeks, but she went through and put in all the Sunday long runs, because obviously that's just how, you know, she works. And so I did see all of those and it jumped pretty high, pretty quick. She likes to get the K's in the legs. So there were plenty of 36, 38s and the 40 in there. But that was good. I mean, I was not concerned with the distance. At all, so that was fine, and I really enjoy them. I did them all solo, I think. So you do rotate through a few podcasts within 3 hours. You know, I'm plodding along. There was no sexy sessions in those long runs. They were just long, grinding, kind of sometimes very boring long runs, but that's okay. As for the sessions. And Tuesday mornings were always a standard 6x1K. I go down and join the Hunter crew at 6 a.m. on the track. So that's probably my favourite session from a social point of view. I don't think I'd be out doing at 6 a.m. in Melbourne winter if I didn't have people to meet. So that's been a huge bonus this year. And then I loved my Friday mornings, to be honest, and that was always something different. Probably tend to love the longer tempo stuff where you can lock in a bit more. It's probably what I prefer.
Oh, it's a big load, and it paid off on the weekend. Chris Oates, got a couple of questions about the race.
Yeah, so the race itself, Joe, was incredibly well-paced, sort of didn't appear to be any significant drop-off, but how did it all unfold for you? Like, were there any stages there early on where you sort of weren't feeling great and had to work through that, or did it just feel really smooth and then get a bit tough in the last 20 minutes? Or, how was it for you?
Yeah, so I would have only had Soph program a marathon pace. Like, I only ever saw the word marathon pace for a session probably only maybe 4 weeks out. And I remember kind of messaging her that week going, I have no idea what this pace is. You know, having done a few 10Ks and half marathons, I had a firm idea of where I kind of sat in those ranges, but I just didn't have a clue what my marathon pace was. So we talked through that. So I guess the race wasn't so much time-driven or pace-driven. I think my goals going in were just to run smart, finish strong, if I could, and have a really good, enjoyable experience just so I had a platform to work with going forward. So I've kind of, I've listened to, you know, what I've got 5 years of podcast advice from everyone. And I think, you know, the words, go to sleep until 30K, catch the bus until 30K, the marathon starts at 30K. I think that, you know, that was all ringing in my head and that's pretty well drummed into me. So I don't think there was any risk of me going out, you know, too hard. I kind of had that in the back of my head and Soph had said the same thing. And she's, there was a cookie jar analogy in there. I think for every K you get through between 0 and 30, feeling comfortable, put a cookie in the jar. And then when you get to 30K, that's when you can, if you're feeling good, that's when you can use the cookies that you've kind of put in the jar. So I think I got to 30K and was pretty excited. You know, I think the instructions were if you feel good, that's when you can pick it up. And I think someone had locked the cookie jar at 30K.
Well, the cookie jar gets a bit harder to open around the shrine, I reckon.
Yeah. The lid was really stuck on there tight. Did it get hard? I really like the Melbourne course in that you can kind of break it into sections and tick off, you know, get down St Kilda Road, you know, tick. I found some mates in Albert Park and we kind of did that together. And I remember we were coming out of Albert Park and I kind of turned to them and said, okay, that's that section done, like tick, onto the next, and you get to Beach Road. One of my favourite strategies in a race, particularly if there's an out and back section, is I find I can kind of turn my mind off for a few K by watching the elites and just focusing on what the race up front looks like and kind of cheering for people like Gemma and that kind of thing. And that certainly distracts me for a few kilometres, which is great. And then what you come back along St Kilda Road and you're practically going for home. So I think I struggled down St Kilda Road a little bit and then was mentally preparing myself to go up the Tarn, which I probably prepared myself fine because it wasn't as bad as I thought. And then I turned around at the top of the Tarn and was able to kind of pick it up a little bit, I think, and flew down the road and knew I wasn't far from home. Although the MCG never seemed to come. I was like, when do we turn into the MCG? Like, this is going forever. And there were half marathoners everywhere, which is always pretty tricky because you kind of run into the back of them, don't you? But I don't know. My philosophy on that is, I don't know. I think I ran into the back of the 2 hour, maybe half marathoners, but I don't know. The reason why I love running is because everyone out there is having a crack and what right do I have to, you know, have an easy right of way as opposed to someone who is just trying their best, trying to crack 2 hours marathon. They're just trying to put their feet in front of each other. So I don't know. I don't have any right over them who, you know, they're trying to get their goal as well. So we're all sharing the roads. So I don't know, was it a good event?
That's a really refreshing perspective on it because I know you see some people, you have a bit of backlash about it. I think that's a really refreshing perspective.
Oh, and don't get me wrong, like for someone like Gemma or something, it's totally different. Like she should definitely have a clear right of way.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bit of play with the organisers and allowing.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you can get a sense of entitlement or what. Just because I'm doing the marathon and they're doing the half or I'm running faster than them, I deserve to, you know, have a clear path. And it doesn't really work like that. Everyone's out there doing their best and everyone has their own goal. So it is what it is.
You had so it sounds like a dream day, really, like in terms of marathons to execute it like that, looking at the split so bloody even. Looks like you had a bit of family out on the course making the trip.
Oh, my gosh.
Was that a surprise, or you knew
no,
that?
No, so my parents came over from Tassie and my siblings are here, but I think they cloned themselves, Zaka. They were everywhere. A couple of times I expected to see them, but then they'd pop up again and I just thought, like, how did you get here? So quickly.
It's kind of good to get that, because then you think it takes your mind off. You're like, hang on, what? And then locked off 2K and then they pop up again.
100%. It was really lovely. Yeah. That makes it very special. Yeah.
Great stuff. Thanks for jumping on and sharing your day, because I think there's been so many stories and we wanted to capture a few of them tonight. And thanks. I know it's post marathon. It's a bit of a recovery week, but we appreciate you jumping on and giving us a bit of your time to hear about your marathon.
Pleasure. I'm not allowed to run yet, so I'm happy to chat running.
Won't be long, and then no doubt Soph will be cooking up something for you for the next next challenge.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see you out on the roads in no time.
Indeed.
Chriso, on this marathon bonanza, we've got a big episode here where we've been able to snag a couple of guests who race on the weekend. Our next one is Tom Scanlon, who is coached by Andy Buchanan. Signed up back in 2019. So he's one of the OGs.
Mm-hmm.
Signed up he was on the Breaking 3 Hour program. And at the time had a PB of 3:16:32, which he set at Melbourne Marathon back in 2016. On the weekend, he ran an absolute blinder. He ran a massive PB and he ran 2:52. So to joining us tonight to chat about the marathon build up and of course his amazing day is Tom. Welcome to the show, mate.
Beautiful. Thanks, Zaka. Chris, how you going?
Yeah, good, mate. Thanks for joining. Is it fair to say that you've claimed reasonable value out of that sub-3 hour program that you initially signed up on?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's been 2019. It feels obviously a while ago, but yeah, it just continues to work quite well.
Well, we'll get into a bit more detail about what happened on Sunday, because that was an absolutely phenomenal run and you've carved a massive chunk out of time out of the marathon. But I wouldn't mind just having a brief chat about some of these other PBs that I've come across on your Strava, mate, and they're estimated times. And I just want to check in and see if they were done in a car or on a bike, particularly some of these shorter distances. So are we talking to a man that's been around a 400 track in sort of around 54 seconds?
Oh, never.
We're possessing. Well, because what I wanted to also check in at, so half mile, which, you know, for those of us that work in the metric systems, 800, not sure if you're familiar with the 800 world record, but it's got you down there for a 141.
You're in the wrong game.
And a 2:17
holder on the show, mate.
A 2:17 for a K. Have you ever run a 2:17 K?
Jesus, nah.
It's great. I haven't clicked on the actual link to see what run or bike ride that's taken us on, but in saying that, you've run quite quick over 5K and 10K as well. Probably quite legitimate, times where, you know, low 16s for 5K and into the low 35s for 10K as well. I suppose when you signed up with Andy way back when, you know, we're talking 4 years ago now, it was the sub-3 marathon program. But did you sort of think that you might be able to reach, you know, those times in the shorter distances as well?
Nah, I was thinking about this. When I signed up, I remember having to put in your PBs for 5 and 10K. And at the time, I'd only ran a half and a full. So I never really had a proper PB for a 5 and a 10. And it took a little while to realise, oh, you actually should be going all right in the 5 and 10K to then translate to the marathon. It's only sort of recently I've realised that.
Yeah, you had in there. You actually threw in a training run, a 40-minute training run.
There you go.
Maybe 28 or 15.
Yeah.
I think you said in the 5K, because I'm looking at the archives here, and it said you haven't really timed a 5K. But likely around 8:45. And mate, you've absolutely demolished those times. And your half marathon was set at Run Melbourne. 2017, you'd run 129. You're now down to, gosh, what are you around, 121, is that right?
Sandy Point, when they did it back in Feb, it was kind of mid-COVID, I reckon. They ran one in Feb. It's happy with that.
Big chunks off those times. But, yeah, and I guess even you had run a few marathons. You stated you'd had the 2016 Melbourne Marathon. What was training looking like for you in your other – in those marathons? Because I saw you done Great Ocean Road in 2017, Gold Coast 2018, 331, 2018, 327. And then moving across to Andy, how did training change for you?
Yeah, I think those other marathons was legitimately just following some sort of online program, really, the kind of cookie cutter approach, and just kind of, let's just give that a go and see how it rolls out. But yeah, I suppose moving across, I suppose that structure that Andy brings, and just having that, knowing that Tuesday's a session day, Friday's a session day, Sunday's a long run, and even just having the ability, within those sessions for me not to actually think about it, and for him to set, everything that's going on. And I guess that, the different approaches as the marathon gets closer and the different sessions that are sort of thrown into the mix to help support that particular race that you're focusing on. I think before that it was very much just, printing out a 12-week program, just going with it. Whereas now it's a lot more tailored week by week. Yeah, and I think that obviously really helps.
Did you have a football background as well? Like,
yeah. Yeah, so played footy and then had two ACLs, not in the same leg, on either leg. But, yeah, never really did any sort of serious running before that. It was all just part of footy training, really. Classic December, January.
You would have been hating doing a few laps for warm up, and now look at you rolling 252 for marathon.
Yeah.
Are you still in touch with some of the old teammates? Would they just be blown away with what you've done with your running now?
I got one mate. I keep trying to convince him. He'd be all right. I think he's run like a 5 or a 10K. I keep trying to convince him to run a half, because he'd translate pretty well, I reckon.
Yeah.
They kinda understand it, I think, in terms of like times. But when you talk about world record stuff, that really blows people away. When you're talking about 2-hour marathons,
and
2:51 pace, people go, "What? That's ridiculous."
Mate, that still blows us away. we're still trying to comprehend that. With coming from your footy background, did you need to adjust your mindset, I guess, as you made the move into endurance running? In terms, I suppose, footy always sort of ingrained into you that you train as you play, whereas running's more, 80 to 90% of what we do is actually pretty gentle.
Internet dropped out a little bit. Correct. I reckon footy training is very much, you're right, you're sort of running 80-90%, you're full knacker, trying to progress yourself, whereas you're right, running are, I suppose, those easy days of, you've really got to focus about being easy. And that's probably something that's come over the last few years as well, like being comfortable running those easy days as slow as you possibly can, really. And then when it is those sort of hard days, it's really pushing them, not, 100%, but pushing them enough to get some sort of benefit. I suppose the other thing about footy, I reckon those early like halves and marathons, you go out so hard, that footy sort of mindset, that you're just going to go for it and then hold on. I reckon it's the reverse now. That's what Andy talks about a lot. Be conservative that first half, and then sort of work into it after that. Whereas the footy mindset, I reckon, is the opposite. Just launch it and just hope for the best.
Oh, yeah, mate. We were absolutely drooling over your splits earlier, me and Chris. So we'll get to that, because talk about someone who, stuck to the script. Coach's pet, I reckon, doing that. But just on the sessions, I was looking at Strava, mate. The blue bars are absolutely super strong, pretty much from June into October, and it's really consistent, sitting around the 70K mark for maybe through August, September, 70 to 80K. Might have gone, I reckon I can only see 96 might have been your top, but bit of elevation in there, living out where you are, out sort of in the east and near the Dandenongs. But it looks like you guys got the balance right with the Ks and, you know, some strong long runs there. Can you recall some of the training sessions that you enjoy doing?
I can. A lot of the longer stuff really enjoys me. So I really enjoy, like, when you're getting into those marathon sessions, when you're doing kind of 3x5K, 3-minute jog type sessions, really, I really seem to are drawn to them and almost get excited to jump into them. Coupled with, again, I also really like just a normal sort of long run, but those long runs where you've got sort of 5K surges within there. Like, I know we did one where we were doing, 5K surge at 15K and 25K. And I reckon one of them was like programmed for half marathon pace at that surge. And I was like, oh, that's going to be a bit of a stretch. And then getting through that, it's like, I'm feeling all right after this. So yeah, just those longer sessions, I think, I really quite enjoy.
Looks like you kept a bit of speed in the legs as well. Like, you're still ticking over the 1K. I think it was 8x1K or 60 seconds in there. Pretty good traditional session, but like, in a marathon block, like, still doing those workouts, obviously kept the turnover, and you can obviously see from your build up where you had some of these races where you did PB in the other distances. It, on paper, this is like a fantastic build. And like, your long run, what was the longest you went to?
I reckon 33, and it might have been one of those ones. It might have been like a 4x2K at the end, maybe 25K and then 4x2K, but whatever in between.
Or just keep it on the flat?
Was that
up into the Dandenongs, or you keep that on the flat?
One of them, I kind of went sort of rolling hills that first section, 25K, and then consciously wanted to find a flat spot to do the 4x2 sections. I think I'd butcher it if I was doing it up in the hills, I reckon. But yeah, I think that's probably come a little bit lately as well, just knowing that, you know, getting sort of hills in there, whether it's on an easy run, or not so much an easy run, but, you know, those kind of 1 hour ones where you can sort of jump into the hills a bit, and coupled with jumping into the hills with long runs, I think actually helps a lot as well.
Now, moving into race day, mate, into Melbourne, I'm actually really interested. What did your carb load look like in the 2 days leading into race day?
I guess I'm pretty lucky. So my wife, she studied dietetics back at uni days. She doesn't do it anymore. So she written me a program ages ago, which I loosely follow. A lot of it carb load. A lot of it is, I've sort of moved away from pasta, doing rice now for the evening meal, and butchered a few marathons doing that massive pasta and, you know, garlic bread the night before and just feeling trash. So I'm just conscious to load up a little bit more on the Friday than the Saturday. And just classic kind of, I don't know, Gatorades and sugars and lollies and Coke and all that sort of stuff. So trying to get the sugars in through drinks and lollies rather than a massive kind of pasta heavy meal. Seems to be working all right. I'm just so conscious not to be totally full and, you know, had previous experiences where you have that sort of massive stitch at 22, 23K. So it's just trying to tread that line a bit.
Any favorite meals in the week leading up?
I don't know. I just get excited to have some Coke and some cornflakes. That actually starts me a bit as well. A bit of cornflakes for breakfast. And
what about now on the other side of the marathon? What's the diet look like the last couple of days?
Yeah, so we had burgers for dinner Sunday, and then had Monday off work, which is a bit of a tradition, and then had burgers for lunch as well, which is an absolute treat. Just sort of standard stuff, and then, you know, trying to flip into some sort of healthy routine at the moment. But what can you do?
That's all right. Now, I love my food. So, what's in our burger, mate? What are we making these ourselves? Are we ordering? Like, what's
and he's gone into quick fire mode already.
No, I couldn't. We'll save some of the gold for later, but I can't resist the opportunity.
Sunday was a really good burger joint near us, actually, in Rogal. So we went there, just standard, just beef, bit of pineapple, beetroot, lettuce.
We double meat, double cheese.
No, one meat, no. One cheese. Standard, boring. and then Monday was actually chicken burger at a cafe near us. Oh, delicious.
Ooh, nice. No, I like it. I like it. Race day.
Yeah, let's just go back to race day. I know I'm excited to get into some more quick questions. I was just parked up for a sec, mate, because we were looking at these splits going, he is absolutely monster. In fact, he's negative split. What a day, mate. Like, you started out like 406s, 408s, just ticking them off, and it doesn't fade. There's no fade. In fact, 405s, you come, 35K, which is going up through the 10 into the 40K mark, and you've absolutely nailed it. Did you feel like you were on? Like, halfway through, you're like, okay, I've got this, but I've got more ahead. Like, just keep sitting on the couch, keep relaxing. Like, this is going to be, it's going to be my day. Or were there any doubts early on?
Not early. I reckon early was quite settled at that pace. And I think, having that conversation with Andy in the lead-in as well sort of puts you, focus of mind at ease. You should be around this sort of pace. So that was the kind of pace we spoke about. So I was just kind of in my head was like, right, let's just try and settle around this, but not, go too wild with it. So I was quite happy to sit around that 405 and was actually laughing in my head the first 5K split because Andy's like, oh, get around sort of 20, 25. And the first one was 20-25. And I reckon the second one was the same. So I was having a bit of a laugh. They were quite similar. So no, I think the first half was feeling quite good. And on the couch, as you said, trying to stay asleep and just keep moving. Had a really good group through along that St Kilda foreshore section, and we were just sort of chatting and running, and that was really helpful to have a group to chat with.
What are you talking about?
I don't know, all random stuff. Well, when Liam Adams ran past, we were like, "Whoa, he's flying!"
Yeah,
talking about his effort at Gold Coast. So we're just talking running a little bit.
Yeah,
he was moving, absolutely moving, like massive gap. But so no, felt good through there, and then I suppose through that section where you join the half, you never really know what's going to happen with that, trying to get around a few people. I think we're still feeling pretty reasonable through that section as well.
Nutrition, taking Morton's, or are we taking
I've been having V-Fuel, which is a bit of a random choice, but it's been going okay. And then we're just having them sort of every 8K. And I suppose I was a bit worried. When was it? It was probably about 28, 27K, like that kind of little bit of a stitch. And I was just a bit worried that was going to keep progressing. So I was just conscious to, when I was having the gels, to take them over, 2, 3, even 4 sort of K space rather than trying to get them down really quick. So I think that was helping.
Just on those gels, Tom, did you practice sort of trying to get those gels in every sort of 35 to 40 minutes in your long run? Or was it sort of more just on those specific race type sessions that Andy gave?
Nah, semi-rule, anything above sort of like 90 minutes, I try and take a gel with me just to kind of train my guts to get used to it. So I was taking them on most long runs, probably maybe 2 or 3. And then those kind of race efforts in the long runs as well, making sure that I was having one during that effort as well, just to sort of get used to both, as in running at that speed, but also taking a gel and sort of getting used to it.
Mate, you're right, Kristen.
No, so I was just saying, and with the gels as well, you mentioned the V-Fuel. Is that sort of what you stuck with all throughout your training, or did you experiment with a few? How did that sort of work out?
Yeah, just experimented. I actually don't know how I fell into them. I think I was doing SIS at one point and then didn't love them, and I've moved to something else. And then I think one of the races got a bit of a stitch. I'm like, oh, it must be the gel. It mustn't be anything else. So flipped to these guys. And they've been all right. But I'll kind of, just because Morton's everywhere now, I'm like, oh, maybe I should try Morton. But I should probably stick with what I'm doing.
Yeah, had a good day. Getting to, say, Flinders Street Station, knowing that you're on target for a PB? Was it starting to sink in, or were you still in like, were you able to start to, I know it's almost a bit early to put the finger up and start saluting the PB, but were you, you're starting to think this is actually going to happen, I'm going to run a big PB here?
Probably not there. I knew, like, you've kind of got in your mind what you ran your last PB and the pace of that, which was about 4:07s from memory. I knew I was a little bit faster than that, so I knew I was kind of close. But that Flinders bit as well, again, you're kind of just trying to get.
And, mate, yeah, heading into the MCG, what was that feeling like? And I believe you had some family in the stands. Get a chance to see. Obviously, at the end, you would have got a chance to see because it's bloody hard to spot anyone. But
So they coming through the G is that's probably one of the best experiences out of the whole marathon. Obviously, you're quite near the end, quite happy with that. But just that feeling of coming through the chute is just brilliant. And then that 400 meters feels like the longest, 400 meters there is. Just takes forever to get around the corner. But yeah, it's just great running through there. So usually, yeah, the kids and everyone's are in the stands, but we changed it up this year and they were at 33K and 38K. So actually got to give them a bit of a high five on the way.
That was cool.
Quite nice. But yeah, just running into the G is just brilliant. Trying to chase down the bloke in front of me, didn't get there, but it kind of drags you through, which is nice. And then, yeah, seeing the time up there always gets you that last sort of 100 metres to try and get there.
And I understand our coach Andy has said you got your obligatory post-marathon photo on Instagram. He said it's the only time you post on Instagram is when you've done a marathon and you've got the kids in the photo, which I think is not a bad time to be posted on Instagram.
Yeah, he's on the ball there, Andy. It is quite funny. I reckon marathons get a post and then, yeah, the kids get a post and that's about it. And maybe when Geelong win a flag, it might get an Instagram post, but there's not many.
Well, we can't all be like Andy, just having photo shoots and running around with Ernie Old and Australian kits and all the rest that he posts. So, yeah, I think you deserve to get that on the grid.
No, very good. Yeah, he's very famous now, Andy, isn't he?
He is. Hey, a couple of quick questions from you, Chris, before we let Tom go.
Yeah, actually, I wanted to ask, mate, the 2:52 marathon with a 30-second negative split, massive time. But what do the future goals look like for you?
Oh, it's a classic thing, isn't it? Like, if you run 2:56, you're like, oh, I'll get to 2:55. you just never seem to settle. So obviously then, yeah, running 2:52, 2:50 feels a lot closer than it did. So that, I guess that's a bit of a sneaky goal at some point. I reckon in terms of marathons, I'm actually keen to really do Ballarat. I reckon that'll be a bit of an interesting course. You know, it's a bit of hype. Steve Monteghetti pumping it up a bit. I was quite interested in doing that sort of next year at some point. But then I think doing some of the shorter stuff is quite helpful as well. So I'm keen to drop down to probably do a bit of a fast 5K and enjoy doing a 10K in the lead up to this as well. So probably just drop down and look at some of that shorter stuff.
Might we see you on the track over the summer perhaps?
No, I've never really done any track stuff. I've done a couple of like training sessions on the track, but never raced a track race ever.
A few community races, I reckon. You haven't chatted to Andy, I reckon you could get yourself into a
couple.
And there's also Melbourne Uni singlet. You don't have a club, do you? So we can Uni singlet for XCR next year. So we'll lock that one away when we get off there.
The base, Andy, be joking.
Yeah, he might sack you, actually. It's been awesome catching up. It's been really cool to hear about your running journey and obviously what a day. And to run a massive PB, negative split, have the family at the end. Couldn't think of a better way to know your Melbourne Marathon. So congratulations. And we're looking forward to following the runs ahead, maybe the track races, but also, what lies ahead in your future marathons.
No, very good. Thanks for the chat. Enjoyed it.
Thanks, mate.
Good luck with it all, mate. We'll speak soon.
Ta-ra.
How cool is that, mate? Hearing two Melbourne Marathon stories, obviously a lot of stories on the day. We've talked earlier about the number of run to PB athletes that went around, number of debuts, PBs, days that just went really well. So it was cool to get some insights. We've got a few more guests backed up over the next few weeks that participated at Melbourne Marathon that we're probably going to go through as well. So we'll keep that thing going.
Mate, sort of saying off air, you know, we've nearly got a year and a half's worth of guests based off Melbourne this week alone. But, you know, it's been a massive night. We've had four wonderful guests come and spend time with us. Chance to go in depth on the Melbourne Marathon, listen to a couple of stories around some big PBs and running journeys of some wonderful people in our community. And that's what we love.
Absolutely, mate. And Run for Rossi, we'll put the details in the show notes. Yeah, it was really cool to hear about that. And a lot of people will want to support that cause. We'll park world record chat, mate. I've got a ripper for you, but I reckon off the back of Melbourne Marathon, it's not going to get the light of day this episode.
No, that's all right. It definitely does deserve its own segment, and we will attempt to do it justice, hopefully next week.
Hey, singlets, I know you got yours today. There has been Australia Post have been copped a bit of a spray from me because we did send them out a couple of weeks ago, and I don't know why, but I was joking to Matt. I said maybe they've tried to go sell them down the Queen Vic market or something, because all the tracking was not showing that they were just showing pending. But
the report that I had,
today, a few people have received them. Unfortunately, there was a few athletes that wanted to wear them on Melbourne Marathon. And I know, Chriso, you stepped in with some last minute style advice, but wellness run will probably be the best way to throw on the hot pink Run to PB singlet. Might have a couple of extra ones I can throw on the website, but we're pretty much should all have them this week. I know a couple of my athletes got them today, so yeah, apologies for those that were waiting on that. And feel free to I won't say send any of these savings.
No, the word across my desk, as I had a chat to the postie that dropped it in today, was that with the singlets being as fire as they are, that Australia Post did have some concern that there was some explosive content that was being posted out. Hence, they were being checked for a little bit longer. So, and look, they're dead right. It is explosive content. These things are absolute straight fire. So, fortunate enough to receive mine today. The pink is pink. I know Steve Friend is absolutely going to love his singlet. I believe he may have received his today as well. I think I did see a little post on Instagram today. But if you love bright colours, you will absolutely adore a new Run to PB singlet, which will hopefully, if it hasn't reached you today, in the next 24 to 48 hours. And would love to see some photos of people in it too.
Sure. Word is that Paul Reason is he's hunting around. He's offering decent cash. I know the guy basically sleeps on a bed of cash, so he is throwing around big dollars. If anyone wants to maybe turn a profit, throw it out to Paul and see what kind of action you'll get from the big fella down in Tassie. But mate, it's been a big episode. Been really, really fun to hear the stories, and we'll be back next week, mate. We might actually have an update on our own running. It's a bit hard to sort of back all that up when you hear the amazing things that our athletes are doing. It's like, well,
it's funny. Last week, we sort of glossed over our week. Said, look, if anyone was really keen and wanted to hear about our weeks, just slide into the DMs and ask. And I tell you now, not a single person bothered to message, and I understand why.
No, 100%. I'm losing subscriber followers by the week.
No one is banging a door down to hear about the easy runs that we're doing. So, no, that's good. People have not missed that at all. But, look, if by popular request, it may be back next week.
unfollow us and get around Tom and Joe and all the other guests that we've had on, because they've been absolutely smashing it.
Oh, that's it. And the others that we've mentioned. I mean, there's four pages of names from the post that went up on Monday of people who participated in Melbourne. They're the people that you want to jump on their Strava and see how they're going.
Very nice. All right, mate. We'll be back next week.
We will. Yep.
Take it easy.
All right. See you, mate.
See you, mate.